out of nowhere, like halfway back to the boat, spinnerbait. I'm about to burn it back in and make another cast. I get like one turn on the reel handle. It just stops. I set the hook and she comes straight out of the water.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
So we got a special guest for you guys today. So if you're anything like us, I love to bass fish. Have been bass fishing a long time. And so Josh just did something pretty special.
Local boy.
Local guy. Hayden, hometown hero now. Well, we're not going to spoil it. So this is a story fresh off the press. What he's going to tell us, and I'm not going to spoil it, happened this past Saturday. So y'all just sit back and get ready for what I think is a very admirable feat that he's accomplished, and he's fixing to tell us all about it. So it's all about bass fishing, Josh. When did you get your start?
I would say roughly 2011. Graduated from the University of Alabama in 2010 in the spring. Worked during the summer shoveling asphalt with my dad. And saved up enough money to finally buy me a boat. First boat was a Nitro Z7. And didn't have any electronics, and I just started fishing on a whim. I've always loved to fish, and we went. I fished all kind of fall, winter, and Philip, I knew he was running a bass club at the time, and it was Highway 160 Bass Anglers.
Yep.
And it was a bunch of local guys, and I jumped in it, and that was my first taste of tournament fishing.
Bass fishing.
I think we might have had 10, 12 boats in
tops.
It. Yeah. And it was a blast.
It was the last time I beat you bass fishing, and probably will be the last time that I ever do beat you. And I don't think it happened very many times during that season either, but maybe once.
Who was your co-angler on that?
Oh, it's Daddy.
Oh, yep. Mr. Larry.
Yeah.
Dad and I, we had a... It was, well, this is not about us, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was a small town bass clubs.
Curry's, Jenrite.
Yeah.
I can't remember who
I'm
else.
I'm sure Steve was in there. He had to be.
I think Steve won.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of friends out there.
Correct.
When did you make the transition from the Highway 160 bass club to something where you could qualify for an event?
Yeah. I would say probably 2012. I think I entered my first BFL, which is Bass Fishing League. It was run by FLW at the time. I jumped in those, and those are basically local tournaments for the weekend angler sat on that. It's a one day deal on Saturdays, and they mostly are on like Gunnersville, Pickwick, Wheeler, local bodies of water. I jumped in those. I think I fished all five that year, had a really good year considering, and ended up making a regional. Didn't qualify to go to the All-American, but it let me know that, hey, I could probably do this. Mm-hmm. Started fishing more like Airport Marine, Sylacaugas in that same year. So I hadn't been fishing, but probably a year and a half at this point. And it kind of accelerated pretty quickly. I was really ate up with it, studied a lot on it, spent a lot of time on the water every chance I got. Every time we was rained out at work, I went straight home, hooked the bass boat up, and I was on the water, rain or shine. It didn't matter if it was hot, cold, or whatever. If there was a tournament, I was going to fish it.
Put in the work.
That's been a dream of mine since I was a kid, seeing it on TV. I mean, that's what on TNN and, you saw all those old Bassmaster, Rick Klunz and Denny Briers and Davey High. I mean, the legends of the sport, the classic rolling into a arena, all that. I mean, that's what you dream of as a kid. And I couldn't make a Bassmaster Classic fishing on the MLF side of things. So I made a leap of faith and basically demoted myself and went to the Bassmaster Opens in 2024. And here we are today.
All right. So you're in the Bassmaster Opens now. And how many of y'all had up to this point?
We have had four total events up to this point.
Before last Saturday. So three before last Saturday. Last Saturday was the end of the fourth one.
That is correct.
So y'all started practicing
on Saturday.
Before.
Yes.
And it was where?
At Logan Martin.
At Logan Martin.
Yep.
Beautiful Logan Martin.
Beautiful Pale Logan
City.
Martin.
Hell City.
A lot of history.
All right. Well, take us to practice. How did that go? Did you kill it at practice?
Practice was it was bad. I'm not going to lie about it. Really struggled. The first day of practice Saturday, I went to where I've had a lot of history, up to the tail race, basically, and fished up there basically all day. I had 2 3-pound bites and then a bunch of little fish, probably had like 9-10 pounds at best with 2 3-pounders. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this ain't going to be the deal.
That ain't going to win it.
This ain't going to be the deal. So the second day of practice, I scratched that and I went down the lake. I graphed offshore all day, you know, tried to sample a little bit of the grass bite, dock bite, brush paw bite, probably caught 80, 90, 100 fish. Probably didn't have 8, 9, 10 pounds.
Man. You caught 80 fish?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. It,
that place with the numbers.
They're just they're this big.
Like, I mean, they're still, all.
That's fun to catch them.
No, it's a blast. If you just want to go catch fish, go to Logan Martin. You can catch, I mean, just tie you on a 5XD and a citrus shad color and just go chunking wide and you're going to smash them.
All right.
You're going to smash them. So, yeah, I knew after the second day of practice going back down, after catching that many fish and not catching a quality fish, I was like, okay, this definitely ain't the deal. So I had 2 3-pound bites on Saturday up the river. I'm going back up there and I'm going to spend my last 3 days where I got history, won a lot of tournaments, won a few boats, a lot of history. I know it like the back of my hand. We're going to go up there and we're just going
to see what happens.
Poke around and see what happens. So I spent the next 3 days of practice up there. You know, I'd have like 1 3-pound bite a day in an area. And once I'd get the bites, I'd kind of leave. And I knew it wasn't very good up there, but I knew enough about the place. I felt like I could feel my way around and possibly catch 12 to 14 pounds a day, maybe, if I did well. And then I didn't, there wasn't going to be enough to win. Felt like 45 pounds would win and maybe like 13 and a half a day would make top 10. And it was probably going to take not 23 to 24 just to cut a check. And the whole deal with the opens, I'm not there to really try to win the tournaments. I'm there more or less to try to make points because the whole goal of the Bassmaster EQ series is top 9. Qualify for the Elite Series in 2025. That's okay. The ultimate goal. So coming into the event, I think I was 21st in points. And I knew if I had a solid top 10, 15, 20 type finish, that would move me up the standings. And I would be able to gain valuable points on my way to hopefully with 5 tournaments left, be in a good position to qualify for the Elites. So that was my thought process on all that.
All right. I'm with you. So we've practiced. We're up the lake. We're in a comfortable place. You're feeling pretty confident, but you're just not getting the big fish that you think is really what you're wanting. But you are getting a couple.
A couple.
All right. So let's go to, so we've practiced. Now let's start the tournament.
Okay.
Take me to the blast off.
Blast.
How did that go?
Blast off was a cluster.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I go through boat check, live wells are open, live wells are running, and Bass has a rule that even though it's daylight, front lights have to be working and back lights have to be working. I'm going through, I've got my back light plugged in. They wasn't turned on, you know, no big deal. And they're like, hey, turn on your lights. I'm like, push my button. Oh. I'm like, they're on. And he goes, your back light ain't working. I'm like, are you kidding me? And there's a thing called a shad spawn first thing in the morning. It's going on and it's a daylight deal. And you only have like 30 minutes to an hour to capitalize on it. And that's what I was going to try to do as I work my way up the river to go to the tail race. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're telling me pull over. So I had to basically go into penalty timeout. And we called the Phoenix crew, Andy, I believe. Sorry if I got his name wrong, but phenomenal. He was there within 5 minutes. I unscrewed my plug. I figured it was a plug issue and we took the plug out. He put me another plug in. It cost me probably 15, 20 minutes, but jeez, okay. First thing in the morning, you know, that was kind of a
still.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yes.
Yes. So we got it fixed. And then they sent me out. I was good to go. So I started out and I just started running grass and whatnot as I made my way up the lake and basically struck out, caught a couple of little fish and they didn't even measure. And I stopped in a pocket on a whim. Didn't catch anything and working my way out, I actually hooked up, caught like 2 3/4, which is a valuable fish at Logan right now because anything like 2 1/4, 2 1/2 or bigger is a pretty quality fish. So I caught my first fish probably around like 7:30-ish. And that was like 2 3/4. So I was like, hey, we got a fish we can weigh in. That's a good fish. So feeling pretty good about it. So I just started making a run up the lake, which is about 15, 18 miles. And I stopped on a bank in practice where I just caught like some 2-pounders. Nothing special. I was just going to try to finish out a limit. Figured shad spawn going on still. Like throw a spinner bait, maybe catch 4 2-pounders, hopefully. And then I got 11 pounds. I can build on that the rest of the day. And I did. I caught a limit. I caught 3 or 4 probably within 10 minutes. Nothing over like 1.5 1.75 1.75 pounds. They were all spotted bass, which is what I assumed I'd be catching. Just straight river bank, nothing special, just 12 foot deep. I'm casting the bank. And then lo and behold, like out of nowhere, like halfway back to the boat, spinner bait, I'm about to burn it back in and make another cast. I get like one turn on the reel handle. It just stops. I set the hook and she comes straight out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest fish I've ever seen on that lake in my life. I start freaking.
I bet.
I said.
Where's my net guy?
Like,
I'm the net guy.
I was freaking and we can't use nets.
Yeah.
It was very stressful. I mean, it had eyeballs on it, like size of $0.50, and it comes straight out. It's got a head on it like this big. And I'm thinking it's a 10 pounder and I'm freaking out. Well, she jumps like 3 times and finally I get her in my hands.
Oh, landed.
I start freaking. I'm surprised I didn't wake up everybody in the trailers that was a half a mile down the lake. I screamed and yelled. And
who is in the boat with
nobody.
You?
Nobody.
You're by yourself.
Yes, I didn't have anybody to share it with.
No video cameras, nothing.
See, well, and that's the funny thing. Normally, I do run a GoPro so we can capture the footage and share it on social media. But whenever I went to plug it in, it wouldn't charge my GoPro because I got a yellow stick or whatever it is and you plug it in your light and it wasn't coming on, so I couldn't put an SD card in there to format it. So the one day I don't run it, I don't have the
biggest one you've ever caught on the lake.
Oh, by far. 713.
Wow.
Ooh, son.
Looking for a 2.5.
Yeah.
Got a 713.
We're just gonna upgrade a little pound at a time. Yes. No, we're gonna upgrade 4 pounds, right?
No. So at that point, you know, I didn't make a cast for another 5 minutes.
I bet.
I was shaking. Yeah. I was screaming, yelling, pumping, high fiving myself.
Yes, high five.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just blown away because that right there. Words,
it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. It just doesn't. Y'all fish Logan a ton. I mean, I'm sure. And like, you catch a 5-pounder, you done something.
Yeah.
And I've caught quite a few fives and maybe a 6 or 2, but never a 7, much less one pushing 8.
It's almost like somebody went to Gunnersville and transplanted that one.
It's almost like going to Gunnersville and catching a 12. Yeah. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Yeah. Like it doesn't happen.
So now you're so set. You had 2.5 or 2 3/4. Now you got a 7. So now you're at 10 plus your 3.
Yeah. So I've got like 13, 14 pounds and it's like,
it's early.
7:45 and 8 o'clock maybe. And I finally recompose, catch another small fish, maybe cull out 1 or 2 like 1-pounders. So I probably got like 13 pounds. And then I go about another 4 miles up to the tail race. I stop on a spot and just a history spot and catch 3-pounder on a fluke.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. This is going to be a special day. Like, you know, was not expecting the 2 3/4. Definitely wasn't expecting the 713. The 3-pounder I called, I was expecting to catch a good quality fish there, but without any current on, that was definitely a bonus fish. So at that point, I basically had 2 3-pounders and an 8-pounder plus 2 others. And so
I mean, at this point, you knew you had to be ahead that early.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I knew I had a
bag,
mega bag working. Mm-hmm. And I still had like 2 1.25s probably in my bag.
Mm-hmm. To get rid of.
To get rid of. So I had 3 fish I could definitely weigh, and I had all day to do it. I think I was doing it 2:30 on the first day. So I go up to the tail race. I think I catch a 2:20. They're turning the water on at like 9 o'clock. And I haven't even went to my primary spot where I felt like I could catch some quality, like 2 3/4 to 3.5 pound fish. So I catch a 2:20 there. That upgrades me like another pound. I think I put everything in Bass Track at that point. And I think it said I had like 16 mm-hmm. and a half pounds, mm-hmm. which I'm sitting here like 15 pounds a day is going to win this tournament. Mm-hmm. And I've already got 16 and a half. It's just now 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we're on something special.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing good here.
Yes. We're
on track.
We're way ahead of track. Let's just say that.
Ahead of schedule.
Yes. And so they turn the current on, and I go down to my primary area, and I start catching a few quality fish. I think I caught like a 2, 2.5, 2 3/4. Like, you know, at this point, I probably got like 17 and a half, 18 pounds. I'm like, man, what mm-hmm. do I do now? Do I
keep fishing?
Yeah. I mean, I think I had at this point, I want to say I had 2 220s in the bag, which is about a 2 1/4 pounder. So I had 2 fish that, yeah, I mean, I could get rid of, but possibility of me upgrading a bunch and burning fish wasn't.
That's right. So because you got to think, you got to be strategic. I've got how many more days?
You still have possibly two more days to fish because the top, and they cut the field from like 200 boats after the first 2 days to the final 10. Mm-hmm. So here I am thinking, do I manage my fish and do I just leave my area? Do I want someone to see me sitting here? Yeah, like, right. What if they come over here? Do I sit here and protect it?
Or because you're going to weigh those fish in, and folks are going to say, I know where he was at today.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I seen him going by me earlier. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I thought, you know, we could do something really special. So I did. I stuck around and I tried to figure out a few different things because the current was on. And I hadn't been able to catch them in the current during practice. Mm-hmm. Which they didn't run a ton of current. They turned the current on at like 1 or 2 every day. Well, for some reason, the first day of the tournament, we still yet to have rain. They turned the current on at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure why.
Yeah, what they did.
It's just what Alabama Power did. You know, hey, it is what it is. So we ended up staying and fishing in the current. And then I caught like a 2:40. It upgraded a little bit. So I still had like I think at that point I had a 2:20 and a 2:24 actually still to cull out. I only had one. And then lo and behold, I think my next cast, I catch like a 3.75. So I knew at that point I was 19 1/4, 19 1/2. I'm like,
you're stacking.
Yes.
I've got 4 more pounds to add to tomorrow.
Exactly. Man. So I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, I definitely can't upgrade. Let's leave now. And I did. I left. I got back about 20 minutes early to weigh in just in case something happens.
In case another light goes out.
I'd be close enough to paddle.
Absolutely. I wanted to get my butt down river. So if something happened, I could flag someone down and I could get to weigh in and weigh my fish in. So I showed up about 20 minutes early and I'd been putting all these fish in on Bass Track. So everybody can kind of follow along and everybody knew that I had a big one and I had a big bag. And I want to say Bass Track was showing I had about a 3 or 4 pound lead or maybe even a 5 or 6 pound lead.
Okay. When you say Bass Track, who can see that during the tournament?
Anybody can.
So you can look at your
Look at my opponent's fishes. Okay. All I can do is open the app and enter my fish and it updates it on Bassmaster.com to where the general public can see it.
Your opponents couldn't see
it. No, the fishermen, we're not allowed to get on our phones, get on Bassmaster to check Bass Track. We're not allowed to do any of that.
Okay.
So it's just for, you know, friends, family, and for the general public to follow along. The public
knew you had a big bag.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I got you. That's cool.
So I get back, I go to weigh in and 19.7. And that big one.
You can't just do that. So when you're, so tell me what, just take me into your boat. You know what you got.
Yeah.
How did it feel when you flipped that lid back, you got your bag there, and you reached in there to get that hog leg out of there? Just walk me through that.
I got chills just thinking about it. I mean, yeah, my social media crew was there, and they we did some pretty good V-rolls of it, slow motion That's and awesome. Stuff like that. And that was the last one I pulled out, and my mom was sitting there holding the bag, and it was just like, when I saw her again, my eyeballs were just, you know, huge. Oh, yeah. Like, and everybody else was like, are you kidding me? And which I kind of skimped a little bit on Bass Track. I waited on my scales, and my scale showed like 750 something. So I knew it was probably 7 3/4, but I think I put it in as like 7 1/4. Mm-hmm. And,
well, just in case she threw up a crawfish or
something or a big shad, you know. I don't want to be big eyeing them. But we put that one in the bag and zipped it up really tightly toted them to the weigh-in stage.
What did everybody do when you pulled that thing out of the bag and put it in there?
A lot of oohs and ahs. Yeah.
You had darts in your back by all your opponents. Yes. That joker.
That sucker didn't.
I mean, that. For people who don't fish around here, or Logan Martin, like a 713, they just don't come around. No. I mean, and it's kind of fate, I guess, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, like when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And like, I caught that fish and I knew that I had a giant bag and I weighed in pretty early and had 19.7. And I wanted to say I was leading by like 5 pounds at that point.
Great. Which so number one. After day one by 5 pounds.
It Close. Wasn't that much. I think second place had like 15.11. Yeah. So I had like 3.11, 3.10 lead or something, somewhere around in there. But it was over 3.5 pound lead on Logan Martin is like probably having a 10 pound lead on Gunnersville.
Wow.
So it was a big deal to catch that bag. So yeah, that had us in first going into day two. And then
tell me about day two. If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads, y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
Shoo. It was
you
a
have
train.
That light fixed on day two?
Yeah, them lights were working
I
first
bet
thing.
They were.
I made sure of
I
it.
I bet.
But day two was a train wreck. I'm not going to lie. Went through, we was like 144, so I was well on back and tried the shad spawn deal again down the lake or around takeoff. Never caught anything. I had one 3 3.5 pounder come up on a buzz bait, just disappeared. I didn't do anything wrong. I just don't think she got the bait, missed that fish. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. You know, anything we get is a shad spawn. It's a bonus fish. So I missed that fish, had another one kind of roll on a swim jig, missed it, whatever. I don't think it was that big. So we head on up to where we basically caught the big one, caught a lot of 1 1/4 pound fish. I was like, okay, well, let's just go ahead and try to catch a limit. Didn't catch anything. We are now, it's roughly 8 o'clock. I'm like, this ain't very good. So I go up fishing around, finally make it up to where I caught the 3 pounder, break off on the fish. Just like first cast. And it was a good one. Probably another 3 3.25. Ended up catching one, and I had a camera boat on me all morning. And then I think about 10 minutes later, I think I caught my first one. It was like a 2 pounder. So at this point, I have like nothing in the boat. I have 1 2 pounder, where the day before, I think I had 16, 17, 18 pounds.
You were ready at that point.
Yes.
180 degrees from yesterday.
And it ain't even got bad yet.
Oh, but they're making good TV.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. So I go up to the tail race, fish around, don't catch anything. And I come on down. I think on Friday they turned the current on at 10 o'clock. So it was probably 9, 9:30. I still have like one fish for 2 pounds. You know, wheels are starting to spin around a little bit. Not really getting bit. totally different. I mean, nothing's different from the day before, really. I mean, sun's shining, it's hot. I mean, same conditions day before. I mean, I'm not getting bit. I poke around and finally I get to my primary area. I go in and try it for about an hour before they turn the current on. Throw out there, boom, hook up. It's a giant 4.5 pound spot, big old spot. I fight her around the boat like 3 times. She's hooked fine. I mean, she's got the bait good. I get my hands on her once or twice, and then she makes a run. I jump up from the seat. I run her around the boat again, and she's about tired at this point, and she just goes to come up, and I mean, it wasn't from me to you, and the hook just flies out, and I'm goodness. Like, I said some words I probably shouldn't have said. Lord, I apologize. And then it was the very next cast, because I had my power poles down. My very next cast, I throw up probably like 40 feet in front of the boat, get bit, set the hook again, fight it for like 10 seconds. I got her halfway back to the boat. She's 6 inches under the surface. I see the whole fish. It's like 3.5. Hook just
comes out again. It
comes out again.
What is happening? Wow.
And so at this point, I'm wanting to break every rod in my boat. I'm freaking out a little bit at this point, you know, like
what else could go wrong?
Yeah, you've lost 12 pounds at this point.
Every bit of it. And then I'm sitting there like same rod, same line, same reel, same hook, same bait. Like I've caught hundreds, if not thousands of fish doing this. I don't lose them. Like what's going on? Mm-hmm. I just sat down. I tried to eat me a pack of crackers, drink a bottle of water and
have your RC cola.
Yeah. I mean, I cut off that hook. I threw that thing in the trash and tied me on a brand new one and just kind of tried to take a deep breath. Well, I do that. I stand up, fish about another 10 minutes, throw out there, get bit again, set the hook. I break off. And I'm like, I know it's another quality, probably 2.5-3 pounder. I mean, it felt like it was a good fish.
You can't make this up.
You felt like you were in the 160 Bass Club.
It was a train wreck. And I mean, the first day, if it could go right, it did go right. The second day, if it could go wrong, it was going wrong. I mean, it was complete total 180. And this is all still before 10 o'clock. They didn't even turn current on. So I'm fishing around. I think I lost another fish, like a 2 pounder jumped off, and then I break off on like another 1 or 2. I hook another 3. It comes off, like it compounds and compounds, like, and these fish are up there spawning. They can pick up the bait a little funny, you know, I mean, I can't visually see them, but I know they're up there and that's what they're doing. And I just don't know if they were just all biting funny, getting the bait funny, but I lost every single thing I hooked, broke off, like a lot of jagged rocks. So, I mean, you breaking off, throw an 8 pound test. I mean, that stuff is kind of going to happen. I mean, you get one little nick on a rock and it's like scissors to the line. You're going to break off a few fish, but for everything to happen like it did, it was bad. So at this point, the camera guys are like, we're going to leave you alone.
The camera guy on you this whole time.
Yeah. Well, they were taking pictures.
Okay.
It wasn't the Bass Alive.
Okay.
Or nothing like that. They were following me.
I was going to say, you're putting on a show for them.
Yeah. No, like, they had a lot.
This is how they're making good TV. We had this guy. Now look.
Hey, this is what a train wreck looks like.
Yes. No, they had a lot of pictures of me fighting fish. Not landing any though. Right. That's the problem. And they left me about 10:30. And I think I ended up catching one finally. It was like pound and a half. Then I caught like a 2 pounder. And then at this point, I think I had like 4 for like 5 pounds at 12 o'clock.
What's your weigh-in?
340.
My gracious.
Yes. It's like I said, it was coming a train wreck. Train wreck. So I go back down a little bit to where I broke off a fish earlier in the morning. First cast, I throw a scrounger, hook up, and boat flip a 3.5 pound spot. And I'm like, okay, get it back on the track. Had 8.5 pounds of 5 fish now, finally at 12:15. I go down the lake. I had like a 1 pounder trying to cull it out. Didn't really work. So still only had 8.5. I knew I probably had enough 27, 28 pounds to probably still make the cut. But, you know, I wasn't there to make the cut at that point after catching what I caught on the first day.
Catching what you caught the first day.
So I went back up to my primary area where I'd lost so many already. And I'm fishing around. I think I catch like a 2.25. It calls up a pound. So, okay. And then not even 5 minutes later, I think I catch a 3-pounder. Finally. Same thing I've been doing.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Technique still the same. Same rod, same reel, same line, hook, bait, everything. Same setup.
The good Lord just said,
yeah.
You've had enough. Put you back on track.
Enough's enough. So, yeah, I catch 3-pounder. So now I got probably 10, 11 pounds. And then I was letting area rest because there had been a competitor over there and I hadn't really got to fish it. And I knew they wasn't fishing it right. So I was letting it rest. And
y'all ain't doing it right. Yeah. Y'all don't have to do
Well,
I believe you.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And, but it'd been getting hammered for about 2.5-3 hours straight. So, but finally, it hadn't been fished for like 45 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start making my way back around. I'm going to try to slide on over there. Well, I'm coming out the back and I hear a boat running, shuts down. I'm like, great. That area I was going to go fish. I'm sure another boat just sat on there. And I ain't seen that boat up there in 2 days, but whatever. It is what it is. I mean, in this divine intervention, whatever you want to call it, like when it's your time, it's your time. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I'm working my way out and I just power pull down. And I just ain't picked up a shaky head in 2 days.
One of my favorites.
I ain't picked one up in 2 days. It's been on my front deck both days, too. And I just pick it up. My co-angler goes, yeah, if you get bit on that shaky head, I'm throwing you in the lake. And I said, get prepared because I just got bit. I set the hook. It's like 3-pounder. I'm like,
nice.
Okay. Box it. Coals out. At this point, I got like 11, 12 pounds. Like, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better anyways. And then throw back out there again, get bit again, catch like a 2. It cools out a little bit. And then for the next 30 minutes, I mean, it's like 2:30 and I got a 25-minute run. Mm-hmm. So it's probably closer to 2:45. And so I have like 20, 25 minutes. And over the 20, 30-minute stretch that I fished it, I think I caught a fish almost every cast while I was power pulled down.
Yeah.
And
didn't have to go around.
No, I didn't. And 3 of them were like over 3 and it was, like I said, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Why I just happened to power pole there. I mean, yeah, I've caught fish there before, but in the past 6 days between practice and the first day of the tournament, I never caught a single fish there. And then
you sure didn't catch it on shaky head.
No. And I pick up shaky head out of the, just on a whim. And
can you tell me, I got one question. I'm dying to know.
Go for it.
What color was it? Were you throwing a?
I was throwing a trick worm.
Trick worm.
Green pumpkin, purple green.
Is that like Bama bug?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. I mean, it's green pumpkin and it's got green and purple flake in it.
Yep.
And
it's a good one.
I just, like I said, picked it up on a whim. It was tied on for both days. And
sit up and dry rotting.
Yeah. It probably wasn't even good anymore.
Melted a little bit from the sun.
Exactly. And I just proceeded to smash them for like 30 minutes, probably caught 10 or 15.
That's awesome.
And ended up, I was like, okay, I got enough now. Let's run back in. So I got back in like 5 minutes early and weighed in and had 15.4. Which was
solid second day,
considering everything that happened.
Considering that 4-pounder,
yeah, 4.5 probably, it could have even been bigger than that.
You could have been 16, 17, but we're not. We're happy with 15 when you didn't have any fish at 10 o'clock.
Absolutely. So, I mean, 15 pounds. That's still a great day. I still want to say it might have been the third biggest bag out of 200 boats. So,
how far are you in the lead?
Going into day 3, we had like 34-11 possibly, and I wanted to say Tucker Smith was sitting in second. He had 15-11 both days, I wanted to say. So I think I had like a 3-pound, 5-ounce lead. Mm.
The Big Mama was
still holding it down.
She's the difference maker. Mm. And so far anyways. And so, yeah, we get to fish our first top 10 of 2024 in Bassmasters, and we're going to be on Fox Sports 1 live coverage from 7 to 11, and then Bassmaster.com from 12 to weigh in basically, yeah. and basically having a live camera in our boat all day with a 3-pound, 5-ounce lead.
Are you in the market to buy or sell a home or a piece of land? The experienced team at White Real Estate is ready to partner with you. Darren and Rhiannon White, Ryan Love, and Lisa Sloan are one call or email away. As a homeowner who has received their help, I encourage you, give them a call today at the number included in the show notes.
So Saturday morning, you got people in your boat. All right. So we're top 10 Saturday morning.
I do.
And you got a 3.5 lead somewhere yes. around in there.
Yes.
All right. Let's go.
First one out.
You're number one.
I'm number one. Boat number one. You finished first place the day before. That's what number you go out. So I had my pick to start. Told my camera guy we're going to make a long run. I didn't even get on pad. I raised the boat up, dropped her down, jumped up, picked up the trolling motor. We started fishing right at the off limits. And I just started going down the bank, fishing grass, trying to capitalize on the shad spawn first thing that morning. It was cloudy, a little bit of wind, just got done raining, still misty, rainy. Perfect conditions for a shad spawn. So I started at the ramp and just went fishing. Put a swim jig in my hand, put the trolling motor on 60, and just went down the bank and fished for 15 minutes, didn't have a bite, and then we rounded a point, and it was just dumb. I mean, it was like every cast. They wasn't all giants, but it was good footage. Ended up catching 1, 2, and 3/4 largemouth, and I knew I could weigh that fish in and be okay because mm-hmm. I mean, both days, I think I had a 220 and a 240 as my small fish. So a 2 3/4, I mean, mm-hmm. that's anything I catch in the morning before I go up the lake, that's a bonus. So I ended up catching 5 or 6, like within 10 minutes. I mean, the fish were on the shad spawn. Yeah, for sure. So I think I had probably 9, 9.5, 10 pounds after the first 30, 45 minutes. And I tried to capitalize still on the shad spawn, try to catch another 1 or 2 good ones for like probably the next hour, hour and a half, because it was still low light conditions, mm-hmm. still kind of raining, misty, foggy, perfect. And we couldn't put another good one in the boat. So we strapped her down and
head on up.
We head all the way back up to the concrete.
Okay.
Well, I get to the place where I broke off the day before. Caught a good one up under the bridge, the train trestle, and sat down on that shoal first cast. My cameraman, he ain't even got the camera on the shoulder yet. Throw up there, one about jerks right out of my hand. I have it on. It pulls off. And I'm like,
not again.
You got to be kidding me. Whatever. It was probably a good 2.5, 3-pounder. And then something told me to pick up a spook. I ain't had a spook bite in 8 days. First cast of the spook, I throw it over the shoal. One comes out of the water.
Kabloosh.
Comes down on top of it, Shamu. I mean, it was awesome. But where I was casting that spook, it wasn't this deep, and it's got like concrete rebar, rocks. I set the hook, fought it for 2 seconds, and I guess my braid. And I'm throwing straight 40-pound braid, so I shouldn't really break off, but it – must have clipped it. Did it just snapped it like a king mackerel. I mean, it was just all of a sudden nothing's there. And then that fish jumped like twice trying to throw the spook, and it was every bit of 3. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not gonna get rattled. We gotta leave.
Been here before.
Yeah, we've been here before, day before. And I tried to hold it together the best I could. Well, we go up the lake to my primary area. I fished a lot where I caught them the last 30 minutes of the next day, but there's no current on. And those current fish, if you're not familiar with current and the way everything works, there's a lot of like current seams, rock piles. And when they turn the current on, these fish stack up in the seams and behind the rocks to feed up and ambush bait. Well, when they're not running current, they're not stacked up. It'd be one here, one there, one here, one there. So they're not grouped up. They're really not feeding. They're not biting. I told my camera guy during live, we got one we could weigh in. We just need one good bite every hour. I think I had 5 hours left to fish. We was doing it 2, and Alabama Power was scheduled to turn the water on at 1. So I knew I was probably not going to have a current bite because it does take 15, 20 minutes for the water to clear up, for them to set up. And I knew I was going to have to leave at like 1:30, 1:35. So I fish around, and after about 45 minutes, I got a bite, catch it. It's like a 2.5. It goes out like a 1-pounder. So I knew at that point I had like 10 pounds. And then it was like 11 o'clock. I ain't had a bite probably an hour and a half. Oof. And it's just an absolute struggle. It looks stagnant, like no activity. And I'm sitting here like, I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Because, I mean, I had a lead and I'm like.
Yeah, but it ain't a 4-pound lead. It was like right up, a little over 3, right?
Yeah, it was 3.5 pounds. But I knew the second biggest bag of the tournament so far was like 16.5, which was a really, really good bag. And I knew that Tucker, the second place guy, had 15-12, 15-11. He was pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. With only having that 3-pound lead, I knew that worst case, I needed 12.5, 13. Mm-hmm. And I had 10, maybe 11. And it was going through my mind, like, don't screw this up. Yeah. I've got to do something. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you have that bag, but you need to cull basically 3 fish and add a pound to all those fish to make it up to where you're.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And something just told me. I mean, I've caught one fish in the tail. I caught one 4-pounder out there in practice. Caught one there the first day of the tournament. It was like a 220. I think I culled it. My small fish the first day was 224. Something just said, hey, let's just try something different. So ran to the tail race. First cast with a shaky head, I catch a 3-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
okay,
here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it, but at the time, bass was off line on FS1 and they have an hour like lunch break. So all this isn't live as of right now. The cameras are still rolling, but they'll show it whenever they come back to live. But I called it out. Next cast, catch one. It's like a 2-pounder. Throw out there again, I catch another one. It was every cast again, man, for an hour and a half until they turned the water on. I catch my last 3-pounder at 159 or 12:59:30. I'm sitting there culling it out, and you hear the horn on the dam go off that they're turning the water
on. Getting to be home.
Yes. So I knew at that point, like, what I had done, I had my scale said like 13.90 something. So I knew I had like 14, probably 14.25. They weigh a little light. So I was doing the math in my head. I'm like, he's going to have like 17.5 pounds to probably pass me. And then the third place guy, he was going to have like a 19 something. And I knew, I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, Logan's got 5, 6, 7 pounders in it, obviously. So I still fished as hard as I could like the last 30 minutes. And I had no clue because you just never know. I mean,
you just don't know.
You don't know it. I had an Elite Series guy in the top 10. He was third. He won the Toledo Bend event this year. Japanese angler. Koya, I mean, phenomenal angler. Tucker's great up-and-coming guy. He's finished like second twice this year. Real good stick. And then, you know, there was multiple guys that had either won or former elite guys. I mean, it was
competition's there.
It was stacked field. And so, I mean, it's always in the back of your mind, like, okay, I mean, I probably did enough to win it, but did I, you know, did
so
they,
where are we at right now? So you're at 14.
I'm at roughly 14 pounds. I feel like 14.25 probably.
And it's getting close to going home time.
It's 1 o'clock. And they just turned the water on. I fished there, which as soon as they turned the water on, those fish repositioned. And I didn't have enough time to try to figure it out. So I ran back down to where I caught them the day before in that current seam, tried it. They hadn't had long enough to really set up yet. I caught one little bitty fish there, and I fished around, didn't catch anything. And then I'm like sitting here thinking, well, I've got 14.25. Like, I probably need to be going in case something happens again.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say I left at like right at 1:30. I gave myself basically 30 minutes to get back, and I knew it was probably about a 20-minute run. It's like 23 miles, roughly running 66, 67 miles. Mm-hmm. It's about a 20, 21-minute run. So I leave right at there, and I get back, and I thought about just going straight to the weigh-in, and I was like, if I somehow get beat and don't fish the last 10 minutes, I would never live with myself. Oh, yeah. I would never live it down. So I fish, and it's right there at takeoff. Granted, now, like, I see my wife. I see Ben Colwell. He works for me. He came out. Jonathan Colwell. You know, they all came out. My mom, a bunch of friends, family. Well, they start all running to the edge of the dock. I'm fishing. You know, I'm still trying to catch a fish to call out. And they're like, yeah, you got it. I'm like, I'm not really supposed to know all that, but, you know, thank you. Which is not illegal, you know. No, I mean,
they had already, they knew.
Well, Bass Track. I mean, our camera guys are all updating it, and the live is still on. So
wow.
I'm sitting here like, you know, I kind of thought I might have enough, but I'm sitting here like, you got to be kidding me. And I just.
It's real.
It's still. Had 3 or 4 minutes left to fish. I just dropped my rod and I just went to the check-in, and then the camera guy was like, how you feel? I couldn't answer him.
I bet.
A big lump in my throat, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, words can't explain it. I mean.
Yeah. You've worked all this.
Oh man. I mean, 7 days straight.
Yep.
And it, kind of happened.
So how much did you win by?
I want to say I ended up having 14-4 the last day, and I think I won somewhere like 3-1 possibly. So
you got the lead day one and just kept it. That's awesome, man.
I did.
Big Bertha held the lead.
Oh, that's 7-13. Oh, if it wasn't for her, I'll probably finish second or third. But man. You know, I did catch it.
I did catch it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
What
a story. So
what's next?
That was my question. What's next?
Well, that moved us up to 8th place in points, top 9 qualifier for the Elite Series. But the biggest thing, you know, the money's great and wonderful and all that. But no, the biggest thing is that win earned us a trip to the Bassmaster Classic in 2025.
Fantastic. Fantastic, cool. Man. Yep. That's awesome.
So
the stage you've dreamed about being on is in your future for sure.
Absolutely. Since a kid, it still hasn't sunk in. Super Bowl bass fishing.
What a story, man. Well, so this is all started. Obviously, our town was very, very quick to celebrate the win. And so I saw it on Facebook and I said, I've got to have the story.
Yeah.
Before cameras, we didn't look at anything. Like I didn't know this story before he sat down. I said, I don't want to know it. I just got to hear it from you. One-on-one or two-on-one, whatever. but anyway, it did not disappoint. What a fantastic story.
Yep.
I mean, overcoming adversity, you had every element.
I did.
Yeah, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. And, you know, like I said, the Lord blessed me. And when it's your time, it's your time. I mean, like you said, divine intervention. I mean, I almost could not screw that up. It's just,
it just happened. Even though day two, it didn't feel that way for a little while.
I know that. But, you know, to find those fish at the end of day two, like, and catch them all in like the last 30 minutes. And same thing on day three. Yeah. It's like something just said, hey, go to the dam. I went to the dam and then caught them every cast for an hour. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean,
maybe it's the first of many.
I hope so.
I can always say to man, it's for that guy.
I talked about a fish against that guy one time.
Yes. There was this one tournament in 2011 that.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing this great story with everybody. So this is Josh Butler, future fisherman at the Bassmaster Classic right here, Hayden, Alabama. We're proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, this is Hayden, Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Josh Butler.
We'll see you next time.